This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 5th chapter, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. At the close of this epistle, Paul is giving a lot of short little exhortations. He is telling them, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And along with all of these little exhortations, Paul declares, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There are so many Christians today who are concerned, and rightfully so, about what is God's will for their life. I think one of the most common questions that we have posed to us is, how can I know God's will for me? And that's a very legitimate concern. Every child of God should be concerned with what God has purposed and planned for their lives. You see, it is only natural when I come to the acknowledgement and the belief that God does exist and that God did create me, I realize that He created me with a plan and a purpose in mind. And that if I do not fulfill that plan of God for my life, I am really just wasting my time. I have only one life. It will soon be past. And only what I've done for Jesus Christ is going to last. And because I want something worthwhile to come from my life, something lasting, I desire to do what God has planned and purposed for me. And so I want to know, why did God create me? What does God have in mind for me to do? What, Lord, is your will for me? Now, there are some people that think of God's will as something that is so shrouded in mystery that it is difficult and hard to ever understand. There are others who really just never bother to ask. You know, they never stop and say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do now? They really do not take God into conscious consideration when they make the different decisions in life. Now, the Bible calls that ungodly. That is, to live as though God did not exist. To never bother seeking what God might want in a given situation. To live your life totally independent of Him, making all of your own decisions, is to live an ungodly life. But how can I know God's will? God's will is not really difficult to know. He has clearly revealed His will in His commandments, in His word. You want to know what God's will is for you? I can tell you very plainly. It is, first of all, God's will that you love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Secondly, God wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. God wants you to acknowledge him in everything so that he can direct your path. God wants you to present your body to him as an instrument through which he might work. These are all commands in the scripture. God is actually spelling out to you what his will is for your life. But our problem, you say, oh yeah, I know all that. But I want to know is, what has God got in mind for my future? What does he want me to be? And I really want God to spell out in intricate detail his 6-month program, his 12-month program, the 5-year program, and the 10-year program, so that I know exactly where I'm headed and the direction that I'm going and all, and I have it step by step laid out for me. I wonder sometimes if we don't want to know the plan like that so that we can maybe choose whether or not we want to follow that plan. I'd like, Lord, you to spell it out now exactly, because maybe I don't like that plan and maybe there's a plan B. And I would sort of like to pick and choose. Yeah, I'll do that. No, I don't think so. But this one over here, I'll take this, you know, and we want to just sort of pick and choose at God's leading or God's plan for us. The revelation of God's will for us is a progressive revelation. You see, he gives us step one, and then he won't give us step two until we've taken step one. But I want to know step two. I want to know step 3, 4, 5, and 6. But that isn't the way it works. He gives me step one. When I've taken step one, he gives me step two. When I've taken step two, he gives me step 3. God said to Abraham, get out of this land of your fathers and journey to a land that I will show you, that I plan to give to you and to your seed as a perpetual covenant. And so the scripture said, by faith, Abraham left the land of his fathers, not knowing where he was going. You see, he didn't get step two until he had taken step one. Step one is get out of this place. But Lord, where shall I go? Get out. As soon as he reached the borders, the Lord showed him the direction to go. And God led him to the land of Israel. And finally, one day on top of Bethel, God said, look to the north, east, south, and west, and just as far as you can see, I've given all of this to you and to your children forever. But that was several steps down the road. God's will for my life is a progressive revelation that God unfolds day by day. And so in the morning, before I get up, before I start the day, I say, Lord, my life is yours. I commit myself to you and to your will. You lead me today and guide me today in whatever you have purposed or planned for me. I want, Lord, to be your instrument, to be used by you for your glory. And then I begin my day, expecting God to lead and guide me according to his will. And as my day progresses, the plan and the will of God is revealed progressively to me. But I don't even know a day in advance what God might have in mind for me. I often think it would help if God would be more dramatic in revealing his will to me. If when he spoke to me, he would use, say, an echo chamber, and he would say, "Chuck." I say, "Wow, you know, I know that's God. I heard the, you know, the echo." Or if God would speak like he did to Moses in a burning bush. If he'd only be dramatic, so I could really know that this is God speaking to me. But you see, God speaks to us in such natural ways. Elijah was standing in the mouth of the cave on Mount Sinai, and the Lord said, "Stand here, I'm going to speak to you." And a mighty wind came rushing through the canyon, uprooting bushes and trees, but God wasn't in the wind. A fire came raging through, God wasn't in the fire. An earthquake began to shake, and landslides and rocks were tumbling. God wasn't in the earthquake. And Elijah said, "And then there came a still small voice," and God was in the still small voice. Oh, but I would rather he be in the earthquake. I'd rather he be in the fire or in the howling wind. So, I really know that this is God. But it's so natural that we so often really fail to realize that God is speaking to us because it is so natural and the will of God is revealed in such natural ways that we fail to really see or to understand the supernatural. What is God's will for you? Paul tells us here. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This, you might say, is step one. And he won't give you step two until you've learned to take step one. I'm glad that he said, "In everything give thanks," instead of saying, "For everything give thanks." Because there's a lot of things for which I am not really thankful. My wife, Kay, has been ill all week. And we have not given God thanks for her illness, but we have been giving God thanks in her illness. I don't thank God for my trials, but I thank God in my trials. I don't thank him for my problems, but I thank him in my problems. In everything, give thanks. I don't thank him for my losses, but I thank him in my losses. In everything, give thanks. Now, this would be completely impossible for me to do unless I understood certain basic things about God. In order for me to give thanks in everything, I must first of all realize that God is in everything that touches my life. that God is in control of those circumstances that surround my life. Those things that happen to me, they do not happen but what God has allowed them to happen. I need to know that in order to give thanks in everything. I need to know that God has a hedge about my life, even as he did Job. And that Satan cannot get through except God allows him to get through. I must know that God has charged his angels to watch over me and to keep me in all of my ways and to bear me up, lest at any time I dash my foot against a stone. So that if I do dash my foot against a stone, it's only because God has allowed me to do so. That God does indeed control my life and those circumstances around my life. The second thing that I must realize is that God is wiser than I. Now, I accept that in principle, but I don't always accept that in practice. If you'd say, Chuck, is God wiser than you? I'd say, oh, man, yes. But how many times when I am facing a difficult situation that I can't understand, going through a real trial or hardship, I say, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And I say it in a tone that says, Lord, this seems awful dumb to me. If I were running the show, I could have done a better job in this situation. I wouldn't have run myself into the wall over here, Lord. And so though I acknowledge that God is wiser than I am, sometimes the circumstances which I can see do not always dictate. But that's my problem, you see. I can't see the whole picture. All I see is this little part of the picture. How many, many times in those circumstances where I was prone to say, oh Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? When I saw the full cycle, when I saw the whole picture, after a week or so, when I saw the completed picture, I said, wow, Lord, that was sure smart. That was so smart, God, that's all right. I didn't think of that, Lord, you know. And I see now what he had purposed, what he had planned. As he was unfolding it, I couldn't see. I wondered, how can he ever make anything out of this? How can he ever work through this mess that I'm in? My father was a great artist. And I used to love to watch him draw. But when he would start to draw something, he would, first of all, just sort of scribble on the page. And he'd say, I'm going to draw a train or something. He'd just start making lines on the page. And I thought, you know, I couldn't figure out how that could ever become a train. But what he was doing is drawing the perspective lines, putting the perspective in. And then having scribbled in these lines, or looked like scribbling to me, if I'd done it, it would have been scribbling. He then starts to fill it in and put in the detail and all, and pretty soon you see that train just emerging on the page as he begins to fill in all of the facets and all of the parts, you see. And so when God starts working in my life a little time, he's putting in the lines of perspective. I say, hey, you know, you made a mistake here, God. You know, that's not what I wanted. How can you ever make anything out of that? But as God continues to work, I see how he begins to put things together. He needs to, first of all, get the focus, get the perspective. Our problem is that of perspective. Peter said our problem is that We only see that which is near. We don't see that which is afar off. True, 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 Peter. I'm interested in my comfort for today. I'm interested in how it affects me right now. And I'm not always looking down the road to what will be the ultimate consequence of this. Where does the path lead if I follow it on out? And where it may look very desirable and it's so beautiful right here. And I say, Lord, I want to walk this path. And God says, no, that's not good. Oh, but Lord, it's so beautiful. Look, that dry, ugly old path over there. I don't want to walk over there, Lord. But you see, I don't know where this path is leading. The disaster that lies ahead. And I would take, well, it's so pretty here. I would start out on this because it looks like presently it has a tremendous advantage. And so I have problems many times because God can see ahead and he knows what the future holds. And I can only see what is just before me in the line of sight that I have. And I am judging by just what I can see, looking right here at the immediate. And God is judging by what he sees in the eternal. And thus I must know that God is wiser than I. And though I can't understand why he says, Chuck, you walk this path, when that doesn't look like the best path to me, I know that because he is wiser than I can do the wisest thing by following the path he points. Because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to turn out. I don't know that. If you let your child order his own life, if you always said, well, whatever you choose, honey, I would imagine that your child would rarely choose to go to school. In the restaurant, when you put the menu in front of them and say, well, choose whatever you want to eat for lunch today, they would turn to the dessert page. And they'd order their lunch off of the dessert page. You see, your child is not yet mature enough to know the value of the education. And thus you've got to say, you're going to school today. Oh, if you love me, you wouldn't send me to that place. You're going to school today, you know. No, you can't have a hot fudge sundae until you eat your hamburger. Because you know that they need the protein. You know that they need the vegetables. And so you use the goodies as an inducement to get them to eat that which is good for them. You don't let them make their own choices because they would only choose the sweets. And that's why God doesn't let us make our own choices, because we're not mature enough. We would just choose the sweets. We would just choose the easy path. We would just choose the pleasant way. But we would never grow, we'd never mature, we'd never develop, we'd never be strong. We could destroy ourselves very quickly by choosing our own way. And so because God is wiser than I, I don't always understand why he has chosen the particular path that I am walking. But I shall continue to walk it. Because he knows best. But then it's also extremely important that I know that God loves me. My circumstances don't always tell me that. And Satan so often takes advantage of our present circumstances to challenge that fact. If God really loved you, then why is your life such a mess today? You ever had Satan tell you that? If God really loved you, then why did this happen to you? And Satan is constantly challenging this basic fact that God loves me supremely. And again, he uses my short-sightedness as a powerful tool to challenge or to question God's love. But God has affirmed that he loves me. And I must know that God loves me, and that what has happened to me has happened because God, who loves me and is wiser than I, has allowed it to happen for some reason or purpose that I may not know and may never know. Now, it used to be that I always wanted to find from God the reason and the answer. And I think that's probably natural because it's expressed in a lot of the hymns that they sing down in Missouri. Further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why, or farther along. There was another one. I'll ask the reasons, he'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over, my Lord and I. I'll ask the reasons, he'll tell me why. Do you think, really, when you get to heaven, you're going to sit down with Jesus and say, "Now, Jesus, boy, back in 1984, you know, 1st of July, it was heavy duty, Lord. Now, why did you allow that to happen to me?" No, we're going to talk it over, and he's going to explain all the reasons. No way. I'll tell you, when I get there with him, this old cruddy life is going to be so far behind, I'm not going to even want to remember it again. Enthralled in the joy of his eternal glory, I'm just going to say, "Let's go for it, Lord. Whatever lies ahead, let's go." I may never understand all of the hardships, all of the disappointments, all of the difficulties. It isn't necessary that I do. It is only necessary that I know that God's in control, that God loves me, and that all of the things that are happening for my good because I love him and have given the control of my life over to God. Kay and I had reservations to leave for Hawaii tomorrow. Kay's too ill. We can't go. Now, we're not going home and moaning all afternoon and crying, "Oh, I want to go to Hawaii. Oh, why can't we go to Hawaii? Oh, you know, I want to go to Hawaii." God has something else in mind for us this week. And so I'm sort of excited to find out just why God canceled my trip to Hawaii this week and what he must have in store for me. Must be really exciting to cancel a trip to Hawaii in order that I might enjoy it. So this promises to be a very interesting week. And as I say, sometimes we'll understand it. Maybe I'll never find out why I didn't go to Hawaii this week. I don't know. But I do know that God is in control and that God loves me and that his plan for me is a wise plan worked out in love and thus in everything. I give thanks to him. Not for everything, but in everything. I give thanks that I am his child and that he does care for me and that he is working out in my life his eternal purposes. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Shall we pray? Lord, we do give thanks to you today. We thank you, Lord, because you've taken upon yourself to order our lives, to control the circumstances surrounding us. We thank you, Lord, because you do love us and that you are working out your good plan that we might dwell with you in your kingdom forever. Lord, we're so blessed. We're so fortunate to know you, to know your love. Take our lives. Let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I love living a life of commitment to God because you always know that no matter how bad it looks, God is working something good out of it. Now, if you're not a child of God, then you don't know that. And in fact, that may not be so. If you're not a child of God, this probably is the end of the world, disasters, and, you know, it could be all over tomorrow. You really don't know. You have no confidence or assurance in the difficult areas of life that there's a purpose or a plan behind it. It could be just, hey, this is it. You've gone far enough. This is the end, boy. You're going to get cut off at this point. Only those who are the children of God, called according to his purpose, can know that God has taken over the control of the circumstances of their life to guide them according to his good purposes. And that's why I could not live in this world without a commitment of myself to God through Jesus Christ. If you're facing a heavy situation today, this week, this past week, or even this next week, and you don't know the way out, if you're a child of God, hey, you don't have to worry. In everything, give thanks. The will of God. He's going to take care of it. He's going to work it out for you. If you're not a child of God, oh, look out. You're going to have a bad one. I'm so glad I'm his child. If you're not and would like to be, I'd encourage you, just go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to lead you into a living relationship with a living God who wants to take over and guide your life and your future according to his wisdom and good plan. It's so good when God is in control and you have to make a very important decision that could mean success or failure. And to know, all right, God, you're guiding me and I'm just going to let you lead in this and know that you've made the right choice because you've committed it to God. If you've not committed it to God, you'll probably make the wrong choice and you'll be in bankruptcy next month. Too bad. How good it is to commit your life to Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you and watch over you this week. Guide you according to His will and His plan as we in everything learn to give thanks unto Him who loves us and who is working for our good because of that love.